time to restate a little bit certain topic. The embassy is, it's very difficult when you start speaking on kashrut from what topic to speak, because the embassy is, if you're looking at on every item you can speak about, you know, a cup of coffee, the sugar, and the biscuits, and so on, and so many ingredients in it. So before I came on Friday, I asked on which topic to speak about. So I've been giving clear guidance and asked a few people what would be of interest. And I think there are basically two different avenues to speak. Either we should speak about a certain product, how the certain product is produced, and what's the shilas and problems involved, or we speak about a day-to-day issue which we come across, which is, for example, bakeries, something which on a daily basis we go to buy bread, cake, and so on. And what is the problem in shilas which came across? So I've been told maybe just to speak about bakeries, a little bit if we have time, maybe we'll go to a different item. So I'm going to try to bring up a bakery. We go around wherever it is, Golden Road, Stafford Hill, or wherever it is, and we see a bakery with a sign on it. It said, kosher, we walk in and we take and we buy, and after the Shema, everything is all right. So, but what is behind the scene? What is involved in a bakery to try to make it should be workable? And it should be obviously kosher with all the dikdukim. There are various things that one needs to know. First of all, I think everybody knows that to do our lochos in Pas Yisrael, that a yid who had a bakery, everybody in order to have a Pas Yisrael, you need to put on an oven. So the first thing, obviously, from point of view of a bakery, you need to put on the oven. A yid needs to put on the oven. There is something very interesting here regarding a bakery. The mostly if someone needs to use a goyish bread, we mentioned to that already previously, the only shayla, which I'm talking about, all the ingredients are kosher, the only problem is if it's pas akum or the nish. In order to make a pas yisrael, you put on the fire and become pas yisrael. Chazal, however, have went up a darga higher, much more strict in the position where the owner of the bakery is a yid. All the halachas change a little bit. And one of the first halachas is, we all know there are pas yisrael or bishul yisrael, or pas akum and bishul akum. The difference is, with pas akum, chazal were matir wherever it's not available, for one reason, because one of the reasons is a person cannot survive without any pas, any bread. So if someone is in a place that there is no bread, chazal were matir, you're allowed to eat it, even if it's pas akum. Obviously we're talking about there's no shilas on the bread. However, bishul, something which is cooked, is much more strict, and chazal were no matir, even if there's nothing to eat, you can buy bread and not to buy anything from a goy which has been cooked. Because it's much, the food, something, soup or any proper meal, even if it's kosher I'm talking about, it brings much more kiyub levovos or chazal after. In a bakery, which is pas, which belongs to yid, which is pas yisrael, if a goy put on the fire, the pas became not the aloha of pas akum, because really the goy put on the fire, it became the aloha of bishul. Chazal went a step higher, and it became a bishul. The difference is that usually it's pas, it's a pas akum, if they eaten anything, you're allowed to eat it. Yeah? However, here in this circumstance, Chazal gave a much more stricter, and he said, look, no, it became bishul, so it's much more strict. The second thing is, bishul Yisrael and bishul akum, you need to kasher the kelim as well. That if, for example, one use a goyish keli of a goy put on a pot with cooked egg, for example, in it, the pot needs to be kasher. A tray of cake does not need to be kasher, even if of bread. Okay, depends if it's liquid or not. However, here in the circumstance, the Chazal gave a whole totally different halachas, that it became bishul, so memele the everything you need to be conscious is one. So we see the straight way that there is much more different. So that's why we here talking about bakeries who belong to all Yidden. So the first things to make sure is obviously that all the fires are put on properly. The Mashgichim who the one who put on the fires, so there is no problem of Bishul, Bishul Akum, and obviously everything should be part of Israel. One of the biggest problem in a bakery, there are the Bishul, to make sure that the ovens are on. Let's try to understand that the bakery don't bake usually all day long, yeah? There are various times of the day when they bake. For example, through the night, they bake the bread, because that's the most time when people needed the bread, through the morning. So, usually by 4 or 5 o'clock, the bread should be ready, either for delivering different shops, or for coming to pick up the own bread on site. During the day, various types of bread are also baked, but usually it's through the night, this is when the cake and the biscuits are usually manufactured. There are two different shifts. What do you do with the oven through this couple of hours? That's something where one needs to be monitored very carefully. There are some bakeries who have a very type of oven that you can switch off, and that's it. A couple of hours later, you come, you put it on again. However, there are different ovens that it's not economical to turn it off and on, because it takes so long to reheat. So you can just turn on in a lower temperature, so you don't have this problem. So the problem is, depending on the oven, each bakery need to be monitored. If it's a type of oven that you can turn off, and a couple of hours later you need for the second shift, so you need to make sure that you got the mashgiach to come to check every time. And obviously sometimes can be done during the day as well. You know, even between, for example, you're baking and later on you have a break of half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on the type of oven. So this is one of the very important things which need to be monitored, especially Motzei Shabbos. Not talking about Motzei Pesach, but every Motzei Shabbos to be monitored, because usually over Shabbos, whatever type of oven you have, you're going to contest put off completely, but to drop the temperature and push, you know, economically, you're not going to use gas through the whole Shabbos. When we made the Motzei Shabbos, you need to make sure that you got a Mashiach coming on. I can tell you one thing, we had once a problem in a very remote place, bakery, which was very difficult to get a Mashgiach. One of the reasons as well was that the Mashgiach of the place were keeping up in Utam, and the owner of the bakery was keeping the normal Stotzman, and he didn't want to wait another 45 minutes after Abu Tam to finish Mario Mekabola, and for him to come, it was a bit complicated, and he didn't know what to do, so it was quite a problem. And so we told him, say, enough, look, leave the oven on through the whole Shabbos, and so the oven is, obviously it doesn't need to be on 500 degrees, you know, usually a baker will bake, and let's say, depending on 360 degrees for bread, depending on the type of deck oven and so on. So he said, you know what's going to cost me? Huge amounts. So I said, look, what is important is we don't need such a high temperature. This is the minimum temperature that you need to have a pialoch. And that temperature is a certain amount of heat which you can carry on cooking in it. With the eggs, for example, in it, you can cook in it. Which is usually between 80 and 100 degrees. Some even want to drop even lower to 65 degrees. But usually, to be certain, especially then sometimes you open the door so the temperature comes up. So let's say if you're working between 80 and 100 degrees, and you know, usually ovens have always thermometer which you can control the temperature. He didn't want to hear about it. So I said, look, let's try to make a problem. You can have a meter reader, see how much gas has been used, and you know, it's not such a complicated issue. Okay, let's try. Went through for 3 month period, and by the end of 3 months he said, you know what, I can tell you, I was thinking to hire the special mashgiach who finished governing Bashtot's money as well, so he can be there on time. I can see it's almost no difference between leaving the whole Shabbos the oven on and to, you know, or to drop the temperature. But we must understand why. And when I told them to do so, it was a certain reason. Must not forget, when you come to switch on a car, in a winter day and everything is cold, it takes much more petrol till the engine heats up and so on. When you let it run, yeah, it's much less petrol. The same thing, when you come here after 26 hours and more, because usually they finish on Friday afternoon by 10, 12 o'clock, everything is closed, all the bakeries, the oven are already on. So mainly you have probably 36 hours which the oven will be switched off. Then to reheat such an oven takes much, much longer. So mainly it does take a lot of energy. And it takes time, and don't forget, when he comes off the Shabbos, he walks straight with the oven hot. So you put it on the top temperature to heat up as quickly as possible, so you exhaust all the energy possible, and you make much. And can if you just leave it through the Shabbat with a lower temperature, the minimum what you can, so the oven keeps nicely hot, and you have no problem with it. And then that's actually what is done the last 2 years, and is running through, and this is something which has been... in various bakeries have taken over this option, which is quite sensible as far as the bakery is concerned, and also economically it's not a huge difference. The only problem is when you come to a bakery is the separation of various products. Now, we all know this milchik powder and this mezoinos, hamoitzi, and the separation of the earth, I think it's important to understand. First thing to understand one thing is the mezoinos and hamoitzi. And something which I want to stress that people should be aware about it is there's a huge difference between mezoinos bread, rolls, and hamoitzi bread. First of all, I'm not going to go into a whole issue if one should have mezoinos bread or rolls or not. It's a very big debate, because anything which you are cooking through anyway, you need to make hamoitzi. We're not going to go into this issue. We're talking about the fact that we have mezoinos and we have a moitzi bread and roll. The halacha of kriyas suda, it's something that one needs to decide how much to eat and so on. But once we have, how do we control and what is really what needs to be done? Now, the difference between a moitzi bread or roll and a mezoinos is how the dough has been prepared. In order to be a moitzi, you need to make the preparation dough with water. So when you make with water sahota dina lochas in ether, then it becomes hamoitzi. In order to make mezoinos, you need to use maize peres, which is juice which comes like apple juice, orange juice, grape juice, whatever it is. Now the problem is today most of the reconstituted type of juices, the way they are produced is in the country of origin, you take the juice or orange, for example, you squeeze it, and it goes a very high amount of water in the juice. So what do? They concentrate it, they remove, they evaporate this water, extract completely all this water, so you get only the concentrate. This concentrate is transported around the world. Yeah, today, the biggest supplier of concentrate orange juice is Brazil. Next year we may have some problem with ethanol concentrated juice due to high Schmitter observed in ethanol, so they don't have enough customers, so they will need to ship it. And again, to know, England is the highest consumer of Israeli produce. And without getting to Schmitter, we are waiting from the Ministry of Agriculture and Exports from ethanol to supply us with the exact figure what is going where and when, so we can track where the product is, because we are having a very high percentage amount of Israeli produce come to England. So once the concentrated juice arrives, you then add the same amount, not more, the same amount of water which has been evaporated at the time and country of origin. So the maize, it comes back to itself. In this process, is a big machloket that this is called still meperes of the north, or it's called water and meperes. We have the last, for quite a few years, changed our system, and we are using only pure juice. The reason is because if you have pure juice, it's definitely mezoinos. Yeah? If you have an addition of water, then you have a problem of pass, and then you can come into two machlokes. First of all, the product himself, who says we should make mezoinos, and the second thing is the meperes with water. So you have too many complications. So we have gone down to an avenue to use only 100% Mefeiros. In order to do so, you need to buy either pure oranges, for example. I'm going to give some name to understand what we're talking about. I'm not recommending a dirt season, drinkable or not, okay? For example, if we use a Tropicana, yeah? Tropicana is a pure 100% squeezed orange. It's called a single strength, which means that it has been squeezed, and it got nothing inside, as far as water is concerned, and you use it as a Mefeiros, yeah? So we have a pure oranges, or you take a pure grape juice, yeah? I'm not going to go into all the grape juice, because many of them have a lot of water in them, but we're talking a pure 100% squeezed grape juice, so the path becomes Mezoinos. Does have a price problem, which obviously grape juice, Tropicana, and all those type of single strengths are very expensive. So the other issue is to use raisin water. Everybody heard about it. But raisin water is also a wine, in a certain sense. It's wine. So how do you make raisin water? There is two ways to do it. Either you take raisin and you leave it to soak in water for 3 days, everybody knows, and after 3 days, you does water become a locher of yain. So yain, it's exactly like Mefeiros, you use this water. This is not a practical solution in a bakery. You're not going to start waiting. So what you do is, the second option, to cook it. You take the raisin water, you put water, the raisin, you put the water in it, which is 5 pounds to one. This is machlokes 5 or 6. We need to have 5 to 1, and then you let it cook. Once it's cooked properly, then this water for how long? This question: for how long is in Chayodom? Said we don't have really have a time, but you have the taste. So what we had made a very strong experiment. So we took, for example, raisin and water. We left it for 3 days, and then you see the result. What you get. And then you cook it, and you see. And I think what we came up with after 20 minutes, yeah, you have the proper taste of raisin water, which is really exactly what it is after 3 days. That is after many experiments with various different types of raisin, because various type of raisin will give you sometimes stronger result and quicker. Obviously, after 12 minutes, we had a good result, and some less. So we made the rule more or less is 20 minutes. Now, the problem is, everybody must understand that a pressure in a bakery, when the bakers, although they don't have any benefit from that, but they know that the customer is going to come to buy the product at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they know they don't have any bread, for them it's the biggest bushes. Yeah, I know they own the bakeries. This is a fact. So a baker in the bank will have a big, tremendous pressure. If, for whatever happens, he does not have raisin water, yeah, he may come to use water. Why? Because for him, it's not my bread, I'm not making a penny more, that's how it is. He wants to make sure that they're taking pride of it, they're taking pride of their bakery, and they want to make sure that the bread is. The second problem we have with raisin, so this is one problem, that how we're going to monitor and to ensure that the baker, 3 o'clock in the morning, will use raisin water. The second problem is, raisin water can be sometimes very sweet. Bakers, although it is Mezoinos, and everybody knows it's sweeter than normal bread, but at the end of the day, he prefers to have bread. So, who knows, he does not cut corners. And to make sure to add a bit of water, if the raisin, for example, was a different type of quality, which is much sweeter, then okay, so I'll already, you know, put a bit of water to come to them. And so, this is one of the problems which we find in the raisin water, which we need to overcome. The solution for that is, in the most of the places, we need to have, first of all, a mashgiach who is in charge of the raisin water. It means that the mashgiach will be there when we boil the raisin water, and he then monitors the amount of time, the amount of water put in it, because obviously, if you 10 to 1, so you got again the wrong result. So the amount of water, how much raisin to the water is put in. It's very easy to down. Today every bakery have a meter reader of water to know exactly how much water is put in the dough. So it's quite easy way to do. The second thing is, he needs to be there at the same time when the dough of the Mezoinos is prepared. so to make sure that no one has used different type of liquid to put into it. Now, we mustn't forget that the calculation of mezuinus includes oil, sugar, and every other additive which is put into it, obviously. So if you have yeast, well, yeast is only a little bit, oil, eggs, all this come into calculation of metal. So one of the big difference between the raisin water and over and juice is that when you put raisin water, it must be 100% pure raisin water. You're not allowed to put any more water into it, because otherwise you dilute the taste of the raisin water. And that's what we said before, you said 1 to 5. According to some poskim, 1 to 6. But if then you're going to add a bit more water, then you have a problem. However, it's different when we're talking about oranges, pure oranges that we're talking about, yeah, then you can add a water. Why? Because the main thing is need to be rov meperes, yeah? So mainly if you have rov meperes, which you calculate with the sugar and the oil and the egg we put into it, you don't need to put 100%, for example, if you need 14 liters of liquid in the dough, you don't need to put the 14 fully liters of water, of juice. You need to calculate all the meperes, and then you can put the rest of water. So all this need to be carefully monitored with proper charts in the bakery to see who is in charge in every place to make sure that this is done. The second issue is milky in the bakery. Milk in the bakery is a very, very big problem, because there are more and more milky products which are required by the consumer. People like Danish pizzas, and which love, I'm not talking about a proper pizza which is bought in a pizza store, I'm talking a small quick pizza done in the bakery, and one can go into the bakery today through the day and the night. There's always a lot of milky things, so those involve many problems, and the reason for it is because a bread which we use for the fly sheet on the soda and so on, it mustn't touch anything of milk. So the separation is one which needs to be very, very carefully monitored. There are various areas of milk used in a bakery. There are, for example, sandwiches which have hard cheese in it, which can a little bit of grated cheese can be stay in a corner, and then if you're going to start rolling, you hollow down, you know, who knows if anything can be stuck on it. It's soft cheese again, which stayed on the surfaces. And then we have the problem with the ovens, because it's very difficult in a bakery to keep always one dedicated milchik oven, because by the end of the day the proportion of milchik is not so high, so to have a dedicated oven it's not always feasible. So the second thing is the trays, the equipment. Now you need knives, you need cutters, you need bowls, mixers, trays to bake on it. So all those things, obviously, if you have complete separation and different colors for this, so one glance, one, don't forget that it's done through, but they through different threshold, different baking, different items. A worker, when he come and he want to make milk, he should straight away see that it's blue, that all for milk, and not to use it on something else. Also, what we have done is we have made some surfaces, like from PVCs, special surfaces on top on the stainless steel table. So when they want to make milchik, they use the special UPVCs, and then after they are removed. So mainly we know that the tables itself, nothing has been used for the milchik. The knives, the cutters, obviously all this need to be washed in separate sinks and so on. The trays is also one of the big problems. So you have a tray which is used for milchik, and all the trays used today, they are lined with a special paper, you know, bagel paper, whatever it is, anti-sticking, in order not to stick directly onto the tray. But still, we don't want to use the same tray, because you never know. You always have little bit of pieces left onto the tray. So what is important always to make sure that those trays are also used only for milking. But all this takes a lot of effort from the time from the worker. So the workers need to be fully trained to understand the chilukim. And one of the issues is that sometimes the bakers are changing quite quickly. You know, they are coming from one bakery from another. There's a lot of change internally. So So when they come from one place to another, which has more or less the same requirements, it's much easier. But when they come from a different place, which has different requirements, it makes more difficult. So you need to give them more training to that. And the second biggest problem is obviously the oven. The oven from Mirchik, although it's from Paros, but we all know a bread is going to be used with meat as well. So we need to make sure that the oven is kashered properly. A lot of bakeries have their own dedicated deck, which is called, it's called a deck oven, specially for Milchik, and they don't use anything else in it, so this is completely dedicated. However, some of them do not have, especially now we come up of Shavuot, the quantity increase, and they cannot cope with one oven. So mainly we have a special requirement, a special instruction, Mashgichim Gueron, to make sure how it is exactly captured and so on. So this, don't forget that the Yom Tov we have all milchik fleishik sudas from one side, and the other side we have the milk cake. So the quantity of both got higher, and mainly much higher control is done. Then once the product is actually baked and so on, we still have a problem of the counters. When you put milchik things on the counters, then you need to make sure that the people who are serving the baking stuff, you need to make sure they use milchik equipment, knife and so on for cutting and so on. And this is where we come up to the public, and we put proper instruction in every bakery. The workers know what they're supposed to do, what type of knife, what type of equipment they need there for trays and so on, for the counter part and serving. However, mistakes can happen. And we are here asking the public, and probably if anyone visit a bakery and see any of this issue, that, for example, he asked for a rogalach and he took a milchike knife or what they call a serving tongue to pick up a rogalach with the milchik things, obviously we want to be contacted. Say, look, I've been here, there and there, which is important as well. It can be done. Saying obviously the place it must be done, say, and the day and time, because sometimes you find the shift change. It's important to go back to find out, you're going to ask one of the workers, which keep the rule very, very nicely, but the morning shift, for example, suddenly a change, and it's a new people there, and they haven't been trained properly, or they're just new. So this is important to know, and we are asking the public to come back. And I'm going to tell you various things which can happen, and rather, please keep an eye on it. One of the things which we come across, the problem, is a coffee. When one comes out for, I want to have a coffee, from a bakery, and then a bread and a croissant, whatever it is, sometimes happens that the workers will put the coffee on the same table, not the milk counters, on the powder counter, and suddenly you see the coffee spilled. And, obviously you wipe out, but the instruction is not to put any milky coffee in the powder section. It only should be done only in the milky section. So all this, there are little things, there are many, many things with the fiddle, having in mind and thinking, yet I and everyone, I think, have a certain mind of what and how things should run. And I'd rather we want to hear from the public the feedback. We are not there to all the time to check and everything. The best hashgochah, as far as the counter is concerned, is always the customers, and we are happy to listen. And if one says that we just give the complaint or nothing has been done, such a thing, what I can promise you, Baruch Hashem, here in God's Green, we have a Bintin Weiss, who people know him, and we are now just introducing a new what we call the Roving Mashgiach as well, which will come to heaven as well, in order to improve and to different eyes see different, and rather to help for the public. So it's important that we should get feedback whenever it is, and obviously we look into it. As far as the backside of the bakery where we got our Zohar, I know many times that we receive complaints that we don't see Mashgiach, but you should know that most of the work is done in the back of the bakery, and this is where the more time, and the mashgichim are the one who spend a lot of time there. but also we want to improve, Be'ez Hashem, that the images in the front of the Mashgichim, of the bakery, as well, should be more, and if anybody has any orders, Abba will be pleased to hear.